Business Class is brought to you by the Tourism Academy, harnessing the power of science, business psychology, and adult education to advance the tourism industry and build sustainable economies. Learn how to engage your community, win over stakeholders, and get more visitors at tourismacademy.org.
All right, Steve Ekstrom here. Today's guest, Gary Sherwin with Newport Beach & Company in beautiful Newport Beach, California. We are recording via Zoom, and the background on your screen is fantastic.
Well, thank you. That's a little bit of our skyline. As we see it, our skyline is really our coastline. So that's we always like to remind people of that whenever we're on meeting with them. It hopefully brightens their day a little bit. And I notice your background. Are you in a mobile studio unit? It looks like you're in a production van or something.
I am in a van. I am a digital nomad, and I have been for the last year. I sold my house in South Florida, and after 20 years working in tourism development, I became a professional tourist. So I've been traveling all over North America for the last 13 months. So it's me and my dog. I'll show you. He's hanging out over there.
Look at, oh, wow. Jeez. So were you inspired by the movie Nomad, or did you just kind of dream it up? How did that come about?
Have you seen the movie?
I have seen the movie.
It's terrifying.
Terrifying and yet kind of liberating at the same time, I think.
Well, as I said to my friends, you'll have to pardon my language on this one. Like, you will not find me shitting in a bucket anytime soon. But what happened was I was selling the house, and I work remotely, and everybody in our team works remotely. So there was no place I had to be and no place that I just couldn't imagine not living there. And I thought I would take a 2-month road trip to go and visit some of the people that I've met in the industry and places that, you know, whether I've worked with or have not had a chance to experience. And my next door neighbor had an RV sitting in his driveway that he had never spent a night in and bought it brand new just before COVID. He offered it to me for what he had left on his loan. Wow. So I scooped it up and I decided, well, I'll take a bigger road trip than I thought. And that was a year ago and change. It's been a really, really cool experience. I have a full bathroom. I have a full kitchen. And that's I have great. A dog whose belly is full as well. So all is good.
Well, I'm sure Frances McDormand would be envious. You seem like you're in a much more comfortable spot than she was in the film. So
absolutely. And I saw that film probably about a week before I started my adventure. And it gave me hives.
Well, at least the way she did it, I think you've elevated that experience so considerably more comfortable.
I'd like to think so. So first I'm going to ask, you know, why did you agree to be on the podcast?
Well, you know, I've certainly followed the work of the Tourism Academy and a lot of the good things that you guys are out there doing in terms of trying to elevate our industry and provide tools and resources to make our industry better. And, you know, education has always been a particular professional interest of mine because I think it's so important, particularly in our space. There's very few academic institutions, and I'm talking whether it's 2 or 4 year universities, that really kind of do this well, and they do it on a broad scale. And a number of universities that do get into tourism curriculum really kind of have a narrow focus. It's, you know, it's usually about hotel management, or maybe about food and beverage, maybe it's about, you know, revenue management, but they really don't get into the broad context of what we do. And that's so, so important. You know, for 7 years, I was adjunct faculty at Cal State Fullerton, and I taught classes in the evenings while I was doing my day job in Newport Beach. And, you know, I was the only person in a center for tourism and hospitality that taught a tourism class that kind of explained, here's what tourism's all about. here are all the different parts of it, here's how they all fit together, and that story just isn't being told. So I think any opportunity we can to kind of educate people and explain a little bit more about how our industry functions and how it is so interrelated, I think is a good thing.
What's something that you wish more people knew about tourism?
Well, I think, I think Roger Dow at US Travel said this really well, and that was when it came to advocacy, he said that, certainly in Washington circles, tourism, if you look at it like a high school environment, there's, the digital technology companies, they're sort of the high school football team. And tourism has always been seen as sort of a drama club. And, very passionate, very excitable, but not cool. And we just kind of pat those people on the head and say, isn't that cute? Keep doing your little plays while the football players get all the glory and they're the cool people. Tourism, I think, is kind of seen that way. We kind of take it for granted. It's fun. It's fluffy. But it isn't always seen as the serious and tremendously impactful industry that it is. And I wish people would take it as seriously as some of the other industries out there that, the global economy.
I know that, one of the statistics that US Travel or Brand USA posts is that nearly one out of 10 jobs in the US is dependent on travel in one way or another. And
they are.
There are a lot of unique jobs in this industry. And I've been able to meet with some of those folks who, open up their crawfish farm or build sandcastles for a living and share that with tourists. What sort of interesting tourism jobs are there in Newport Beach?
Well, I think a lot of the jobs that we have, and this is, again, one of the things that I think is a misnomer, is that tourism is seen as low wage, low skill jobs that don't really lead to anywhere. And yes, there are a few of them, but I've also heard just as many stories. And we have a Marriott in our town that's been around since about 1974. I cannot tell you the number of people who I have heard from who are now senior executives of hotel companies, general managers at hotels. They've gone on to great careers, and they started as a bellboy at the Newport Beach Marriott, or they worked by the lifeguard station. Tourism does have a platform to allow people to kind of grow and develop if they choose to want to do that and if they want to stay in the business. We're filled with success stories like that. And I think that is one of the things that I think differentiates our business, is that it's a people-oriented business. And if you have the skills and you enjoy it, there's a way for you to build a great life in this business. It doesn't have to necessarily just be the bottom tier where most people tend to enter. I mean, even Roger Dow started out at a very low level and worked his way up to become eventually president of US Travel. So, that is one of the things I think we need to kind of talk about. But, the nice thing about tourism as well is the jobs are diverse. You can be a part of experiences. We have gondolas in our city. You can be a gondolier if you want to. And cruise the canals, or you could be a senior executive. Preferred Hotels is based in Newport Beach. So it really allows you, it's the great entrepreneurial American story where you can rise as far as your talent and interests, allow you to. And I just wish more people understood and appreciated that pathway, because it's certainly there.
What's a lesson you learned at your first job that you take with you even today?
Well, I started out when I was going to school, I was, I had dreams of being a journalist. And remember when journalism was still a career path that, actually paid bills. But I started out that way. And then eventually, when I graduated, I worked for the LA Times, and I was a reporter, and I was not very happy. I thought all the people there were very cynical. And I had a professor who said, you know, I think I know a perfect job for you. It's the PR person for the Palm Springs Convention and Visitors Bureau. And I had great respect for this professor. And I said, what, you want me to pass out brochures all day long to lost visitors? I said, that's not what I want to do. He's like, you don't understand what these people do. I said, yeah, they're out there promoting tourism. I mean, what is that all about? He said, go to Palm Springs, talk with these people, see what they have to do. So I went out in, you know, August, and of course it was a job interview. So I go out there in a suit and tie, and it's 120 degrees. I walk in, of course, they all laugh at me. But I, you know, I discovered, you know, that there was this whole very sophisticated world of marketing and telling stories about destinations. And I happened to work for a brilliant man who, you know, said that, you know, we need to be able to look at our business much like a consumer product. And we need to be able to build relationships with customers. We need to tell our story. Storytelling is very important. And we need to connect with them and do it through a research-based methodology. At that point in this stage of our industry, that was nuclear physics. Nobody had really thought of it in those ways. And today I still carry that, you know, fundamental philosophy with me.
Who do you look up to as a mentor in the industry? Or who do you look up to as mentors in general, personal or professional?
You know, there's a number of amazing people out there. You know, I love Richard Branson. I think he is phenomenal for a number of reasons. And I know a lot of people look to him. But I think he was one of the people who said that you can run a business, create great experiences for people, and still, you know, pay attention to the business fundamentals. But the important thing is never lose sight of the customer. Never lose sight that we are in the experience business, and our job is to create amazing experiences that people take with them the rest of their lives. Those type of individuals, I think, are transformational, because I tell our team all the time, we're not necessarily in the business of selling a city. We're in the business of creating memories. And Disney has, you know, been on top of this for years. They're not selling a theme park. They're selling magical memories. And any way that we can go about helping facilitate those experiences that lead to those memories is really the product that we're out there trying to convey to people. We do it through having them stay in hotels and, yes, going to theme parks or going to restaurants or going on attractions. But at the end of the day, what they take with them are those experiences that hopefully transform themselves in some way. So, you know, couples go and maybe they are a little closer at the end of that vacation. The kids are a little more connected with their parents. And they take those memories and, you know, and they treasure them the rest of their lives. That's why family vacations, I think, are so critical and important, because they form bonds. And interesting enough, even things that we, you know, sometimes have problems with, missed flights or someone getting sick, they become part of the folklore of that, you know, vacation experience. And again, that's what people talk about when they get around the table at Thanksgiving. And I think those are, you know, the people who understand that are the ones that I really appreciate.
I can relate to that a little bit. I was actually supposed to be in Mexico right now, and I got turned around twice at the border because of the permit for the van from my last trip to Mexico was not canceled. So, and that, you know, it became part of the experience, became part of the adventure. And because of that, I went to Big Bend and Carlsbad Caverns and White Sands National Park and all of these things because I was able to run with it. And I think that makes part of the experience. What's perhaps something that went wrong for you on a trip, but turned out to be for the best?
Oh boy. You know, I remember my wife and I, We were actually on a business trip, and it was to St. Moritz, Switzerland. And I actually had business meetings, and I was going to be with colleagues. And we got there, and of course, our luggage got lost. And when you go into St. Moritz, you have to then take a 2-hour train to get to where the hotel was. And so we arrived, our luggage wasn't there. We went to this beautiful hotel. We're in travel clothes, and there was no idea of when we would get our luggage. And I had business meetings, and the way you dress on a 10-hour flight to Europe is not going to be the way you want to show up at a business trip. This happens to people all the time. But instead of trying to put on the armor, you just kind of say, the important thing about this trip is I'm here to visit with people. I'll explain what happened. They will understand. And I'm just going to put it aside. As frustrating and aggravating as it is, you learn to kind of separate what's important from what isn't important. And, I might not have looked particularly great, but I showed up at the meeting. I apologized. And it was a wonderfully productive meeting, even though I was unshaven with wrinkled clothing. But people understood, and we got through it. And I think sometimes we expect that the only vacation has to be the perfect vacation. This one, it was far from perfect. We eventually got our luggage 2 days later, but we had to kind of live in our clothes for a couple of days. And it wasn't fun at the time, but in retrospect, we got through it. And I had to kind of get over that idea that everything has to be perfect in order for a vacation to be what it needs to be. The flaws, the imperfections, it's what makes up interesting people, and it's what makes up for interesting vacations.
How would you like those around you to describe you?
Well, I think, boy, that's always tough. I love our business, particularly in my world, in the DMO world, which is one of the aspects of the tourism industry that doesn't always get the understanding or credit that it deserves. When I talked about educational offerings, there are no universities that teach what a DMO is or the work that we do. I think in our space, it is we make a big difference at a local level. I like to think that hopefully I did my part to help elevate and promote our business. I'm very involved in Destinations International and their Certified Destination Management Executive Program. I'm the chairman of that group. Again, that's my contribution towards education. I did what I could to elevate the industry. I did what I could to help professionalize it. And hopefully, people, won't think that I'm a dick while I was doing it.
Well, if you got that going for you, you're better off than I am. What are three words that you think your family would use to describe you?
I think, it's funny. I've got a 25-year-old daughter and one who's going to be turning 30. And for whatever reason, I go about my day and they just find me endlessly amusing. I do not know why. I'll say I'm going to go to Trader Joe's and pick up some stuff, and they'll ask me what I'm going to pick up. I don't know. They just see me as a weird, quirky little guy. And so I think they would look at it that way. But I think one of the other things I've tried to convey too is, I try to emphasize experiences and experiences that, push you outside your comfort zone. Case in point, yesterday, my oldest daughter wanted to go see Taylor Swift. And, I'm not a huge Taylor Swift song, or her current album is pretty good, but I said, let's go do a Taylor Swift concert. I think that would be kind of fun. So that's what we're going to go do. And it's outside my comfort zone, but I'm okay with that. I like kind of pushing the envelope on stuff like that. And it's going to be very different. But, you know, I think they know that I'm up for a good time, even if it's not what they would normally think I would be doing. So,
isn't it fun when you get to surprise people like that?
It is. It is. You go counterintuitive.
How do you think your destination surprises people?
Well, I think, you know, Newport Beach, you know, and for people who aren't familiar with it, it's not Newport, Rhode Island. It is, you know, it's about an hour south of Los Angeles International Airport. For those who have seen it, I think they would see it as a, you know, premium luxury destination with a lot of high-end hotels. I think one of the things that draws people to it is that, yes, it has a luxury component, but it is also really accessible in the sense that you don't have to be a person with a large bank account to come and enjoy themselves. We found this out. We've actually done contrasting destinations. We've looked at other luxury tier destinations and tried to ask people, how do we compare and contrast? And I think one of the things is you can come, you could be a part of the community, you could feel a part of the community, you can interact with the locals and not feel like you're over here and the locals are over here. You could feel a sense of community. And it's not a one-dimensional destination. We have outdoor recreation, we have a state park, we obviously have beaches and a wonderful harbor. If people want to be pampered, they can do that. If they want their kids to go rummage through a, you know, neighborhood candy store with old wooden barrels of saltwater taffy, we got plenty of that too. It's a matter of being able to choose the experience that you want. And some destinations that are singularly stand for something, I think, have a more difficult time appealing to people. It's not that we have something for everybody, but we do have enough to be diverse and attract a variety of interests. And I think that sometimes is one of the messages that we work to try to get out there, because it's not widely understood.
Tell me about something in the room that you're in now that brings you joy.
Well, I am in my study at home today. And one of the things that is a weird hobby of mine is I love collecting letters from famous people. And if you were in my house, my wife would jokingly say we have stanchions around our living room and family room, because I've got letters framed from all kinds of people from history. But here in my study, right, this is, I devoted it all to musical figures that I love. So right behind me is Mick Jagger, and we have a set list from a concert that they did back in 2016. You know, I have Bruce Springsteen over here, Todd Rundgren. I've got a poster from an old concert that I went to called Desert Trip down in Coachella. So I kind of, you know, this is kind of themed because I love the creativity behind, you know, musical artists that I respect and that have longevity. I mean, my God, the Rolling Stones, I mean, 60 years. I mean, they always say Stones or Beatles, you know, Beatles, phenomenal output, but, you know, they were together a handful of years. The Stones, they just played their 60th anniversary concert. I mean, talk about longevity. And Mick Jagger, what an inspiration. Anytime I feel like I'm getting old, I look at Mick and I'm going, you know what? This guy's a great grandfather. Why are you thinking that you've had it when this guy's still strutting the stage? Those people give me inspiration all the time.
One of my favorite musical quote or musical references is that you have the same number of hours in the day as Beyonce.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
If folks wanted to learn more about visiting Newport Beach, how would they go about doing it?
They can go to visitnewportbeach.com, and you can also follow us on whether it's, you know, Instagram, Facebook, or whatever. We have a very active social media presence, and they can learn about everything going on. And for people in the industry who want to learn more about our organization, because the way we market Newport Beach is a little different than others. We're a little, we call ourselves a community-based organization. They can go to newportbeachandcompany.com, and that talks a little bit about how we're organized as a marketing organization.
Is there anything I didn't ask that you wish I did?
Well, I would say that, you know, what is the biggest challenge facing our industry right now? And this is pretty widespread. And unfortunately, the pandemic set us back in this effort. And that is, we need more people to choose tourism as a career, whatever aspect of it, whether or not you want hotels, attractions, food and beverage, DMOs, what have you. We are not necessarily the industry employer of choice. And we hopefully need to get back there, because I will tell you, you know, starting my career in journalism, and now I've been in this business for over 30 years, it's a fascinating career. You get to travel places, meet fun people, make an impact on your community. You know, we talk about that people want purpose in their careers. Tourism has a very clearly defined purpose, and it's a wonderful career. And again, as I mentioned earlier, you can grow depending upon your ambition, but we just don't have that level of, you know, cool factor that I think that technology or entertainment or gaming or anything else seems to have out there in the marketplace. And I hope we can get back and retain that. Because I know after the pandemic, a lot of people lost their jobs and said, okay, I'm done with this thing. That was an unfortunate time in our career for a lot of reasons. But I hope people will realize the power and the career satisfaction you get from working in our space.
Is there anything you'd like to ask me before we finish up?
So the Tourism Academy, what would be the 10-year goal of what you're trying to achieve in terms of changing the trajectory of our business?
So one of the gaps that we identified many years ago is that every organization seems to work in its own silo, which means that knowledge is not as easily and readily shared and accessible. So that is one of our 10-year goals, is to have a place where knowledge can be shared across or between organizations and businesses and people who are interested or who are already working there. You know, a cross-pollination of ideas, if you will. Mm-hmm. The other side of that is to bring in knowledge that's not already in the room. You know, one of the reasons we got started was a lot of the education that's out there in the industry sucks. And one of the reasons it sucks is because it's knowledge that's already in the room. It's somebody who's an expert, but not an educator, or it's somebody who's there because they have something to sell you. So let's bring some psychology and some learning skill to this. Let's bring in experts and insight from outside of the room. Let's make it possible that somebody in this group can learn about what that group does and advance their career as a whole. So that's our 10-year lofty ambition. And I think we're well on our way.
That's wonderful. And I'm glad you're incorporating some of the softer skills that are important into our business, because I think we focus too much on the hard technical skills or strategic skills or marketing skills, and the softer side, the, you know, emotional intelligence and psychology and so much of what makes up our business gets lost. And I agree, too many people are educating for self-gain versus trying to just simply elevate and move the industry forward. So congratulations to you for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm pretty proud of the work that we do here. You know, our advisory panel includes many folks that you would consider your peers, like Adam and Elliot and Al and Greg, and folks who work at universities and folks who develop leadership programs. And, you know, we are lucky that we can be nimble. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, any closing thoughts
Just you know, keep at the good work that you guys are doing. I think that is tremendous, and I hope more people are exposed to it so that they can encourage their people. I mean, we all have an obligation to pay it forward and to help bring people through and mentor them. And your program sounds like a phenomenal way to help get people the skills that they need. So, you know, hats off to you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining me here in business class. I appreciate you, and I hope you have a great week.
Hey, thank you so much, Steve.